I couldn't resist. It's a new year in, 2 days? One of the things that you see at this time of year is everybody starts doing reviews on the year that was. And I just went to a couple of places and you get the best pictures from around Australia in 2018, you know, and you get the sports ones or you get the political ones, usually there's a few of those, and then you get the best of, you know, or the worst of, depending on where your particular interests lie. So you can find out what the best songs were, the best TV programs, and all of that sort of stuff. And you also, this is a traditional time when people look to the future and you get these wonderful things called New Year's resolutions. We'll talk a bit more about them a bit later. It's also a time where people think about, and not necessarily 2 days before, but how often have you heard someone say, oh, next year I'm going to, or next year I will. And so quite often people will think about stuff they want to do next year. Well, it's in 2 days' time. When you think about us as Christians, and we're just going to look at a number of passages this morning, and I'm just going to challenge you as we go along. So, Ephesians, and some of these we've seen recently. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So when you think about, for example, a passage like that, do you ask yourself the question, how well have I done against this? How much have I grown this year? Think about where you were at the beginning of the year. Think about where you are now. What's changed? Was it good? Was it all right? Or was it maybe not so good? Remember what we're trying to achieve. And this is a very small subsection that I threw in. But you get passages like 1 Peter 1 where it talks about be holy as God is holy. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 2 and 28. Each person is to be holy and blameless and irreproachable. 2 Peter 1:4, we might become partakers of the divine nature. Romans 8:29, to be conformed to the image of his firstborn. Galatians 4:19, until Christ is formed in you. And all of that entails, all right? Yes, we can talk about being conformed to Christ, but there's a whole lot of stuff that sits underneath that. And then as we ponder on how we've been for the past year, ask yourself the question, what am I going to be doing differently? And as we think about Hebrews 12, where he says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside each weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who is the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I've got there, notice this is an ongoing process. Now, who here has ever run a marathon? A fun run or something like that? A few. And if you went out and you dashed for the first 100 meters, what happens then? You start to slow down a bit. But usually if you think about it a bit more, you know that going flat out in the first 100 meters isn't such a great idea. And so you think about, where am I going? How am I going to get there? And notice he describes this as talking about running with endurance. The passage that Peter used last week, right, talked about the idea of pressing on. And we'll come back to that one a bit later on. But what I want to challenge us to think about as we go through this today is, how am I going to go about this? How am I going to run this race with endurance next year? And you'll notice that some of the things it tells us to do is that we have to put off some stuff in this process. And it talks about every weight, things that slow us down. All right? You don't see many marathon runners running with a backpack, enough water for 6 days. No, all that stuff's given to them. They get rid of anything. And in fact, it's sort of like, what's the bare minimum we can get away with and we run? And it talks about as well, every sin. Get rid of that old sin, put it off, and replace it by the things that God wants. But why? Because these are the things that are going to hinder us in running this race. And for each of us, these things could be different. Different sins, different weights. So into your case, you need to think about, what are these things for me? And how am I going to go about taking those things and putting them aside? I said I'd come back to New Year's resolutions. I did a very quick investigation on the web. I saw this and it was quite interesting. More than 40% of Americans make New Year's resolutions, and 8% of them keep them. So I'm not talking here about making New Year's resolutions where we think about something and then sort of buy. And I saw this great cartoon where it said, someone said, what are New Year's resolutions? And they said, the answer was, something to do in the first week of January. All right? But if you want to instigate real change, there was some research that was done that said to change habits took about 66 days. So again, some of these things that we will need to be implementing, we need to be thinking about in a bigger picture than just, oh, I should do better at this next year or next week. And notice as well, I'm not talking about being a Christian, because that's just assumed. What I'm talking about is, how are we going to progress? How are we going to grow next year? And challenging you to think about, how are you going to do it? In Romans 12, we have the familiar passage. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And again, notice it's ongoing, all right? We're not conforming, we're transforming. And again, leads to the questions of, how are we going to do this? Okay, and when we talk about being conformed, that's the idea of being shaped by the world around us, all right? But rather, the English word metamorphosis, or metamorphism, which is where they get this from, the Greek word of being transformed. And if you think about it, if you do nothing, what tends to happen? You get shaped by other people. But if you think about where you're going, and then that's going to help you in being different, being transformed, rather than just sort of plodding along. Because the idea is that we present our bodies, yeah, that once for all, but we become a living sacrifice. And again, we're familiar with the concept of sacrifice from the Old Testament. It was something you gave to God. It was gone. You know, it usually got burnt or whatever. But also it was the best. Okay? And in doing this as well, remember that the mind focus is important. In Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4, it says, "Since you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." How do I do with my mindset? Is it set on the things above? How well? Right. How well have I done in the previous year? And what can I do to improve that? And that's the challenge I want us, particularly when we get into the small groups, to start thinking about how can we challenge each other to go on, to grow. But part of that requires you to think about where you are, where you need to be, and therefore what things need to change. In Romans 6 and verse 11, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." And again, notice there's two parts to this. The not offering yourself to sin, but offering yourself to be instruments of righteousness. And again, thinking about how you've done over the past year. How's that going? How are we improving in our service of righteousness? How are we decreasing that sin component? And again, the one we saw in the previous passage, which talked about that putting off of that weight and that sin. So how are we progressing in that? Now, there's lots of ways that you can do this, but just think, I said rate yourself. Some people like to go from 0 to 10 or whatever. But just thinking about a mechanism whereby you can measure this. Why would you want to measure it? How do I know whether I'm getting better or worse? When I do something, did that improve things? Did that not improve things? When I tried this to put off sin, did it work? Did it not work? So how much thought and planning have you put in for this for next year? We have a strategic planning meeting, and we produce that strategic plan. And that's at a sort of a congregational level where we're aiming. But individually, how do we do in that department? Have we thought about our own plans for next year on a spiritual level rather than just, I want to go to Hawaii or wherever else you might think of? So what about next year? What am I going to do differently? What will I do the same? Second Peter verses 1, 5 to 9. "But also for this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For these things are yours and abound. You will never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his own old sins. So there are a list of qualities that we've been told to develop or add to each one. Things like diligence, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. So again, the question, how's it going? Are we doing well? Do we need to work more? Well, probably we all need to work more, but think about how you're doing in developing these qualities, these things that we're adding. It's interesting because the word diligence has a bit of a sort of haste associated with it. And the idea of abound just simply means, you know, for these things to abound, it's one of Paul's favorite words, abound. But the idea of something abounds, it's sort of, you know, you get the cup when it's full just to, you know, about an inch below the brim. No, you sort of get the picture of the cup's full, it's overflowing. So that diligence, that sense of urgency and haste, earnestness about some of this. Okay, and again, how are we doing in these? And the next question is, what are we going to do next year? How is this part of our spiritual thinking for where we're going next year? Philippians 3:12-14. Not that I've already attained or already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to be apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. And this is the passage I referred to that Peter brought up last week. And inherent in it is, I'm not there yet. I've still got stuff to go. All right? And as Paul had stuff to go, well, that obviously means that I've got stuff to go. And so what am I doing about it? What am I thinking about how I'm going to change in progressing in this? And it's not like we're going to get there next year, we'll all be perfect and we put our feet up. But it's an ongoing process. We develop. We get better each year as we press along. And notice as well, where does he keep his focus? What we're achieving in the end, the prize. All right? Because it's that crown, that prize, which is the thing that we're focusing on, that's going to give us the endurance as well as that focus on Christ, that mindset on the heavenly things. Okay, won't bother with the Greek stuff. And again, just going back to a worldly thing for the moment. We just had the Sydney to Hobart race. And to give you an example of this, sometimes we sort of approach life in the sense of, oh, there's a Sydney to Hobart race tomorrow. Let's get a boat. How do you reckon I'd go? I got the boat yesterday. I'm sailing today. I'll learn to sail tomorrow. All right. It's interesting, we wouldn't even dream of doing that in sort of the world around us because we know it's just silly. So again, thinking about spiritually, what things do I need to put in place before I can, you know, get on the boat and sail? Except for us, it's just one continuous race. But the metaphor or the analogy is there. So again, thinking about where we are from the past, where are we going to get to in the future, but focusing on the how am I going to do that. Okay, and it's interesting because in Paul, all of the stuff that he'd done up to this point, he says, I don't glory in that stuff. That's all forgotten. I'm all focused on where I'm going, what I need to be doing to get there. Hebrews 10:23-25. And again, I nicked this one from Peter last week because it's such a good one. Let us hold fast the confessioning of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Notice there's one little word in there, consider. I have to consider you. I have to think about you. Because hey, if I don't do that, what am I going to, how am I going to stir you up? All right? And so part of this is, you can't just do it sort of off the bat. You have to think a little bit. And that's what the passage is asking us to do. Think about each other. Consider where we are, where each other is. And that then helps us in that process of encouraging you, stirring you up. Or as I like to translate it, irritate you to love and good works. And again, notice some of these things are not a one-off. I don't make a plan this week and that's it. I'm done for the rest of my life. Because different interactions with each other change. Different things are happening in your life. You're at different stages of Christianity as you progress through your life. So this is going to be an ongoing process of just considering and thinking about each other. Philippians 2. Therefore, my beloved, as much as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. But do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. It's important to remember as well in this, yes, we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, but it's God who works with us. We're not doing it on our own. Right? And so Paul could look at his life and the hardships and go, I'm glad. I rejoice. So, in summary then, what about next year? Where are we going spiritually next year? For you, it might be different to me in where we are and things that we want to work on. But have a think about it. What do I need to work on for next year? What am I doing well? What am I doing not so well? There's a great quote, and for those who did my class when I did talked about change on Wednesday night, from Albert Einstein, and I love it. I saw it first in a mental health facility where the nurses hung out. And it says this, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And if we approach and just do the same thing day after day, guess what? You're going to get the same result day after day. We need to develop, we need to grow. All right? And we need to think about how we're going to go about doing that. So, let's come back to the question then that we have been talking about as we go through. What will you do differently in 2019? How do you plan to grow?